From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. It is the 9 p.m. hour. It's 9:06. This is really the hour where we can have fun, especially on a Friday night. Like, listen, honestly, my bosses, they're out partying. They're at restaurants. I don't know what they're doing right now. I don't want to tell you that they're out drinking and doing all that. Maybe they're at their house. Maybe they're teetotalers and they're just reading the quiet book at home. Doesn't matter. We got the place to ourselves and we're having fun. We do whatever we want. So what do I want to do? I want to talk about Ozempic. Are you guys interested in Ozempic? I am interested in Ozempic. I find it fascinating. Here's the thing about Ozempic that I find fascinating. I find it fascinating how quickly a massive drug company has been able to sell the idea that all of a sudden, the only way to lose weight is through drugs, which, like, for a long time, people said, no, you don't want to take extra things in your body. You, like, want to try to avoid taking unnecessary drugs. And now the entire conversation has changed. And everybody, all they can say now is, you got to take these drugs if you want to lose weight, because otherwise it's a disease. That's the conversation that's happening right now. And you know what? I don't really know the answer to that. I don't know if gaining weight or not being able to lose weight is a disease, or is it because somebody doesn't have the self-control with eating? There's a whole bunch of stuff mixed in there. But what I do know is drugs kind of scare me a little bit. Like, prescription drugs that you're putting into your body, I do find a little bit scary. And I can be moved by a story about somebody who says that they tried forever and ever to lose weight. And no matter what, it never worked. Thank the Lord, weight loss is not something that I've ever had to battle with. It's just not part of my metabolism. I know a lot of people who've dealt with it. I get it. I totally understand it. But prescription drugs from Big Pharma still kind of scare me. And Ozempic is being just hailed as a phenomenon. It's like the biggest thing in the world. I would imagine probably with as much as people talk about Ozempic and other weight loss drugs, I bet you it's starting to get right up, maybe not quite, but like it's starting to get up there with, like, you think about like Viagra, which is another amazing thing that has been, I'm not saying that Viagra is horrible, and I'm not saying Ozempic is horrible. I'm just saying there are side effects to drugs. It is interesting though, Viagra and Ozempic both were discovered by accident. And I wonder how often that's happening with Big Pharma. And I think it's interesting that we all trust it so much when they didn't even know that this was one of the things that it could do. Like with Viagra, I don't know if you guys know this, but with Viagra, it was a blood pressure medication. And, you know, who's typically using blood pressure medications? Older dudes. And some of these older dudes would come in during the test phase of this and they would say, all right, they would talk to the drug folks. And the drug folks would have a list in front of them and they'd say, all right, just answer some questions for us. And these old guys would sit there patiently twiddling their thumbs, answer these questions like, all right, let's test your blood pressure. And they'd hook them up to the thing, test their blood pressure. And then they would say, is there anything else that you want to talk about while you're here that you're experiencing while you're taking these blood pressure medications? And all these old guys started going, well, as a matter of fact, it is giving us this stuff down in our nether region. And these drug companies are like, wait a minute, what? It's doing what to you? It was a side effect. And then the drug companies went, whoa, whoa, whoa. Maybe this isn't for blood pressure. Maybe what we stumbled upon here is this amazing thing. And again, I'm not saying that it hasn't been very useful and people use it and they love it. And, you know, it's great if it helps people in that region. I totally get it. Maybe someday I'm going to use it too. But the side effect, it's a side effect. And now it's the purpose. And with Ozempic, it's a side effect. It was a diabetes medicine. These drugs, these like Wegovy and all these other drugs, diabetes medicines, which are now being used for weight loss. A big adopter of this, like somebody who really is talking about it a lot and somebody who seems to care about it a ton, Oprah Winfrey, she recently just had this special because she came out recently and said, yes, she's been using these weight loss drugs. People noticed that she'd suddenly lost a lot of weight. And she says, yes, I've been using these weight loss drugs. And now I'm realizing what I had was a disease. And no matter how hard I tried, I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't cut the weight consistently. And so this drug is about hope.
There is now a sense of hope, number one. And number two, you no longer blame yourself.
Yeah.
Because when I tell you how many times I have blamed myself.
This, I mean, she got very emotional. You can hear her there getting emotional talking about it. And I get it. Like, it's a really emotional thing for people. I totally understand that. I've got things in my life that I get emotional about, too. Absolutely. Listen to this mom. She's talking about her daughter. This, I'm not going to play the audio of the daughter here because I just felt, I don't know, I felt strange about this. The story is a young girl who was overweight and was having problems on her weight loss journey. And, you know, she was suffering from it socially. She was having a tough time at school. People were calling her fat. All the horrible things that young people can do, that kids can do. Kids can be really mean, like, because every kid feels really self-conscious about themselves. And so, you know, they try to look for flaws in other people so that they can deflect the attention. And yeah, kids are horrible. We all know that. We all went to high school. It's really tough. But this mom was talking on this Oprah special when her daughter's sitting right there next to her. And there's a bunch of cuts from her daughter, but I'm not going to play any of them. I didn't even like record them for the show. I mean, like, she was highly featured in this Oprah special, but I don't know. There was just something about it I found odd. She's, you know, 16 years old when this special comes out. Her face is all over this. And now she's like kind of the face of this on this Oprah special. And I just, I don't know. There's something about it. I feel like I don't like featuring a person that age. I feel like you could have told the story without having the kid on the screen. But whatever. So the mom is sitting next to her daughter and she's talking about her daughter's weight loss. And you can hear the mom describing what must be like a really, really frustrating journey that they've been going through. And any parent, anybody who's a parent out there listening, I'm a parent, I get it. You want to fix your kids' problems as much as you possibly can. And you certainly don't want them being bullied, and you certainly don't want them feeling insecure about themselves, not feeling happy with themselves. I mean, those are all horrible things to think about because as a parent, all you see with your kids is upside. All you see is the beautiful part of your kids. You love them so much. Oh my gosh, I can't even explain this to people who don't have kids. You just love them more than you can love anything. And so the idea that your kid is going through something painful is unbearable to the parents. Like, it's almost worse for the parents. Kids don't understand that, but it really is. It's almost worse for the parents. So this mom was describing her daughter's weight loss journey to Oprah in front of a, you know, massive audience. Oprah did this on ABC. It was like an ABC special, prime time. Then they put it up on Hulu. And, you know, so we have this girl's story now.
Her mom, Erica, desperate to help her daughter lose weight.
I had a healthcare professional at one point tell me that she would be 500 pounds by the time she was 16 and that she would die.
Maggie had bariatric surgery, which she says didn't stop the compulsions to eat more than she wanted to. So her doctors turned to a medicine called Victoza.
When Maggie started taking the GLP-1 medications, she was one of the youngest people to have ever taken them. And it was the Victoza that quieted that part of her brain and allowed her to eat what she needed to with the surgery and to lose weight.
All right, so the reason I pulled that clip and the reason I'm playing it for you right now is just to highlight, like, the thing that concerns me about this is you heard that part of that clip there which said that her daughter had compulsive eating habits and that this drug now helped quiet that compulsion part of the brain. I don't know why she was having those issues, and I can't. I'm certainly not a doctor. I'm not an expert. I'm not a nutritionist. But what I can say is that mom was in a very tough spot. Her parents, that mom and that dad, are in a very tough spot. You want to help your kid, and you want to help them get to a healthy size. Certainly, if doctors are looking at you saying your kid's going to be 500 pounds, that's really scary. I mean, that's like heart attack situation. That's diabetes. That's all sorts of other horrible things. On the flip side, giving these drugs comes with a lot of side effects. And now we're starting to see some of those side effects. I'm really trying to not be critical of this mom here because I really feel like she's kind of in the middle of an impossible situation. And she chose a path. And, you know, I'm not judging her for that. That's the path she chose. I'm sure she talked to doctors and, you know, her daughter has lost a lot of weight and appears to be a lot happier. I mean, she appears to be confident. It showed that she joined the cheerleading squad. She's got a bunch of friends now. So maybe for her, that was a good thing. I can't say I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. I don't know about these drugs. But what I do know is I hear about side effects and I go like, oh my gosh, I'm just nervous about the adoption of miracle cures that may not be miracles. Listen to this guy. His name is Dr. Mark Hyman. He was talking on this podcast. He's a nutrition expert. He's a New York doctor. He's written a bunch of books. he was talking about how there are a lot of scary side effects to Ozempic, and people should be paying attention to those. You shouldn't just be going in blindly saying, oh, this is a miracle cure. And I'm not suggesting that people do that. I know that when people get prescriptions, they have to talk to their doctors, and then they talk to the pharmacist, and that everybody knows what's going on. Everybody makes sure that you know what some of the side effects could be, what you should be doing, what the proper way to take these drugs are. But we also are now living kind of in a culture where Big Pharma has like a really big input into the messaging of these things. So I just listen to these side effects. I found these interesting.
Now we're seeing 2-3 years out, serious side effects.
So the other thing too, just really quick to mention, in the special, and I did not watch the whole special. I only watched chunks of the special. But in the special, apparently Winfrey chose to speak to two different doctors. Both of them were consultants to drug companies, apparently. And she chose not to speak to doctors who were skeptical of the weight loss drugs. I just think it would be interesting to get every single side. I just think that would be. So here is a doctor presenting you with some Ozempic side effects.
Now we're seeing 2-3 years out, serious side effects. So, you know, in medicine, when we see an effect of 20 or 30% on a study, we go, that's a great thing. Let's, you know, statins lower heart disease by 20 or 30%. Great. Number one drug in the world. The side effect profile on this is scary because bowel obstruction, which is not a trivial thing, essentially where your bowels stop moving and you need surgery to release them, is increased by 450%. Pancreatitis, which is not a fun condition, which is where your pancreas becomes inflamed, that affects your digestion, it affects your insulin, it affects everything, and you can die from it, is increased by 900%. So these are not trivial things. There's other side effects, kidney and so forth. So I think the longer this is out there, we're going to see more and more consequences of this drug. And I think it misses the real issue, which is how do we fix the problem causing this? It's not an Ozempic deficiency, right? Like this is weight gain and obesity is not Ozempic deficiency. It's because of our toxic environment, lifestyle, food system, lack of exercise, environmental toxins. It's complicated. And it's not an easy fix.
It's a very difficult topic. It's, you know, the only reason I keep highlighting it on the show is because I do feel like there is just, I don't know, there's just something in the air to me where it feels like, all right, you have so many people adopting this so quickly. I'm just seeing it everywhere. I'm seeing all these news stories about it. And maybe the news stories are just, you know, blowing the story up and it's not that big of a deal. Maybe a ton of people aren't taking it like I think they are. But I am seeing stories about like people who have diabetes who can't get the medicine that they need because all the prescriptions are being filled by people who are taking it for weight loss, which again was not the first intention of this drug. And I just think to myself, are these people just taking the easy way out? And is that the best thing? I don't know the answer to that. I am fascinated by it. All right. I want to get something else really fast before we run out of time. Yesterday, O.J. Simpson, infamous from the trial, famous from being a sports megastar. He was at USC. He won the Heisman Trophy. Then he went on to have, like, I think he was in the NFL for 11 years. And then after he got out of the NFL, he was like Mr. Everywhere. He was in commercials. He was in movies. He was just like all over the map. Everybody loved him. He was everybody's best friend, it seemed. And then this crazy thing happens where his ex-wife, a friend of hers, get murdered. I'm not enough to like tell you what happened to O.J. Simpson's world, but they get murdered. O.J. Simpson is then the target of the investigation. They suspect that he did it. They charge him with the murder. There's a massive trial. Everybody in the world saw the trial. Even me at like 9-10 years old was aware of who O.J. Simpson was. I didn't really know why he was on TV every day, but he was on TV every day. And then the verdict.
All right, Mr. Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury? Mrs. Robertson.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information.
All right, then everybody was kind of split on that. There was a lot of folks who said, all right, good, they got it right. There was another bunch of people who said, you know, obviously he's guilty. And the world kind of just decided to be split on it. I don't think it was really split. I think the majority of people who looked at the evidence and who listened to it probably decided that they thought that he was guilty. But whatever. So he then comes back into the real world. He doesn't have to be on trial every day anymore. He's like the most famous he's ever been. And he starts doing a bunch of strange stuff. I saw this video. I'd never seen this before, but this is a very strange thing. In 1998, this is just a couple years after the verdict and after he gets out. He wasn't locked up. After the trial ends, he was eventually locked up for something different. But after the trial eventually ends, he is doing this interview in 1998 with this interview with a journalist whose name was Ruby Wax. She had a series called Ruby Wax Meets, and she was going to be interviewing O.J. Simpson. And she details this very odd story where they decided to have some fun and pretend that she was on like a date, like a surprise blind date. And when they opened the door, it was going to be O.J. Simpson who was going to be there. And what she didn't know is out in the hallway, O.J. Simpson thought it would be funny to take it one step further and not only like be the pretend funny blind date, but also pretend to like stab at her with something. But he couldn't find a knife, so he used a banana. Just this whole weird thing. Listen to the story. It's bizarre.
I did a piece to camera saying, I've been fixed up, and I don't know who my date is going to be. And we put him in the hallway, and then I opened the door, and it would be him. But when he was out there, all the trays were out there, and he was looking for a knife to fool me when the door was open. But there was no knife, so he grabbed a banana. And then OJ called me up.
That was him making those noises like he was in, what was that movie? I'm blanking on the movie's name. What was the movie? Psycho, there it is.
On April Fool's Day in London, and said, I killed her. And then went April Fool's.
That's a weird story. This other one, I'm going to try to play this really fast. I found this really fascinating. ESPN reporter Jeremy Schapp told a really stunning story about a time that he interviewed Jim Brown about OJ, like right after OJ had been charged. And here's the story. It's really interesting.
And I remember standing in a field outside the O'Hare Plaza Hotel in June 1994, and there are police and forensic experts all around, and they're looking for a murder weapon, looking for a knife in this field in Chicago. And I remember thinking to myself, this, we're talking about O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson accused of these brutal murders. And then I remember going to Jim Brown's house and we wanted to interview Jim about O.J. Simpson. And they did not get along. They had very different perspectives on a lot of things. And Jim Brown, had his issues as well. He was no angel, but he was committed to his community. And he sits down and he points at the camera before we've even started the interview. And he says, is that thing rolling? And I said, yeah, we're rolling, Jim. He said, and he turns, he looks straight in the camera and he said, OJ, for once in your life, be a man and admit what you did. And I just remember like, whoa, you know, there's a lot there, right? And I think about, you know, what we thought we knew about OJ Simpson and who he really was. And the difference between those things.
Such a crazy story. Even in death, O.J. Simpson, number one story in the world. All right, we got a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I have a very special guest on with me right now, Mike Lefko from 710 Seattle Sports. And anytime Mike comes on with us,
Score Time with Skorheim.
Mike, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks, Jake. That's why I do it. Do it for the music.
Good.
Do it to get fired up.
I'm going to send this music to you so you can listen to it before you go to sleep at night, when you wake up in the morning. We should send this to people. This would be like great pump-up music in the morning.
Good personal theme music.
Just get you going.
You need to get about your day.
Yeah.
Have this bouncing around.
If you want to accomplish something, you play Score Time with Skorheim. That's what you got to do. All right. So we're talking sports.
Yeah.
Right away, I want to talk first about Seahawks, and I want to talk about quarterbacking for next season.
Okay.
Is it going to be Geno Smith? Does anybody know? Is there going to be somebody new, or are they just going to make this decision way down the road?
No, it'll be Geno Smith, especially for next year. But next year, that's the key sticking point there, because his contract becomes very expensive after the 2024 season.
What would it be after the 2024 season?
So it would be like a $38 million cap hit. And right now it's, I think, low. I don't know the exact number now. They restructured his deal and they signed him to a new one last year. So this year's cap hit is still pretty effective. It's manageable. It's not anything too expensive. But you jump up because it's the final year of that deal. It's a big cost prohibitive cap hit. So everyone's thinking, okay, you can do some things in the NFL where if you cut a guy, you still have to pay a large portion of it, but not all of it. So there's a lot of talk of, all right, what happens in 2025? But for next year, pretty certain that Geno Smith will be the starter.
Yeah.
So he'll be here. Because otherwise he'll be the starter. You want some of that stability. So
yeah, like otherwise you're building from completely ground up. Yeah. Like complete zero. Okay, so that makes sense. I really like Geno Smith. So in order for him to stick around, because he would be so expensive in 2026, right?
2025. So this year, he's got a pretty still cheap deal. And then next year, next season, 2025.
Millions and millions.
Yeah, cheap from a cap hit perspective. And everything is kind of in the lens of that salary cap hit.
Yeah.
Because there is a limit. You can't go over a certain number in the NFL. You have to have 53 players, and it goes up every year based on league revenue, all this stuff. But you can't have just endless amounts of money. You have to just stick to that limit, which I believe is like $260 million this year for 53 players.
Yeah,
so
that's rough.
That's why you have full-time guys who are constantly managing and maneuvering how to get this team under a salary cap limit, but you have to deal with this. So eventually, it becomes very expensive to pay a lot of guys.
So if he has, so basically, for him to stick around in Seattle and play longer in Seattle beyond this next year, he would have to have like the season of his life, right?
And even then, it's nothing certain because, and this is going to sound wild to you and me and everyone else out there, he's getting old, like for a quarterback. So he'll be 34 in October, which sounds great. Like, 34 is amazing. Okay, there's a lot going on. What an old man. Yeah. But in NFL terms, you know, you might be a little bit decreasing your effectiveness. So you have to consider that, especially for a quarterback who takes hits, who you might need to scramble in the pocket, you might need to run. So that is a concern, as tough as it is to say his age might play against him. But a lot of people thought, hey, that's why they brought Sam Howell in. He is younger. He's in on a cheaper deal. Maybe he's a guy that they get a look at and think, all right, that's
something
maybe a guy for 2025 or just the stopgap. He's maybe the one-year starter in 2025. Then they draft a quarterback again. So it is it's a revolving door, but I would say, and now, of course, it might not happen, but I would say with 99% confidence, Geno Smith's the starter this year.
All right.
And then it's very uncertain after that.
Yeah. I like Geno, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, he's been a solid quarterback. He's been good for them.
What's the number one story that people are talking about right now in sports?
Just overall in sports?
Just overall, what you guys are talking about over on 710
well,
Seattle Sports.
You know, so O.J. Simpson died recently, so that, you know, you have to bring up what he did off the field. And certainly he was a very good football player, famous for his football ability, and then, you know, a notorious criminal, you would say, but he was never convicted for that. So, of course, that's the controversy that surrounded his entire life and the two people that were associated with him who then were killed. So, talk about O.J. Simpson and then Shohei Ohtani and the betting scandal.
Shohei Ohtani is one I was recently talking about, too. But back to the O.J. Simpson thing for just a second, because I do find that really fascinating. This weird thing where, so I was having this conversation the other day about separating the artist from the art.
Yes.
And I was using some, like, you know, popular movie figures. Like, a lot of people are uncomfortable with Woody Allen for things they've heard about Woody Allen or Michael Jackson. He's undeniably a talented musician. I mean, like, he's no longer with us. He's dead. But his music was obviously phenomenally popular. But there was all these allegations and things out there about Michael Jackson that made people very uncomfortable. And so people sometimes, some people, stop being able to enjoy the music. Same thing with O.J. Simpson, right? So, like, on the field, he was an artist. He was just a super successful guy. Pete Rose, another great example. An amazing, like, the best hitter in all time of baseball. After his career, when he was coaching, then he has these, you know, these gambling problems, and now he can't be in the Hall of Fame. So can you separate, like, can you still enjoy what the person did on the field, even if they, you know, did something that you found objectionable off the field? Do you think that's possible with somebody like O.J. Simpson?
Well, some people will tell you that. I think if you were a fan of his personally, like if you're a fan of the Buffalo Bills, then probably. If you are a neutral party.
Or you're like a USC fan or whatever.
If you are a neutral party, I think the heinous nature of what he's accused of and what most people think he actually did outweighs all of that.
Yeah.
So that forever tarnishes and taints your perception of him. And he didn't exactly stay squeaky clean after that.
He went to prison
and then he tried to break into something. I don't know. He'd had a lot of stuff that.
Yeah. He got arrested. I think it was in Vegas, right?
A raid and they tried to armed robbery and memorabilia.
And I think him and his guys were accused of holding somebody hostage.
So not a good person.
Yeah.
And multiple times proven not a good person. So I think for the majority of people, that outweighs anything that he did on the field.
Yes. Yeah. Crazy. All right. And really quickly in the time we have left, we have a minute and a half left. Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Did we talk about this last time we spoke?
I don't think so. And I think, now recently, some more news has come out that the federal investigation has uncovered the depths of what his translator actually did.
So when this story first came out and when his translator, Ipe, when he was accused of, basically they said, all right, this guy stole $4.5 million from Shohei and used it to pay off gambling debts. I think there was a lot of people, myself included, who was asking all right, well, was this guy just kind of a front for Shohei?
Right.
And was this like a Pete Rose situation, but he had an interpreter, so he kind of got the benefit of the doubt. But now this new information has come out where it was like $16 million.
And 19,000 bets. So there's a ton of proof that this guy had a gambling problem. So this pretty much exonerates Ohtani. I know a lot of people thought,
time for 19,
yeah,
bets.
This is over the course of 2 years. He's betting like 25 times a day.
Wow.
It's like, okay. Yeah, he stole money to cover up his gambling addiction. So it's pretty cut and dry right now. The depths of his depravity is, being fully shown. And I think that makes it good for Ohtani and for people that did think, hey, maybe this is a conspiracy. Because I believe that as well. You kind of are like, hey, maybe he is. It seems kind of convenient.
Yeah.
But now it's just there are so many things coming out to show that, hey, this guy.
They have voice recordings
right,
of him saying that he's Ohtani. And talking to banks, trying to convince them to let him do transfers or get money.
So basically, the federal investigation cleared up any kind of confusion or any ambiguity around what MLB came out and said.
Okay.
So it's pretty cut and dry right now.
Yeah, it feels pretty cut and dry. Well, I'll tell you what, the MLB is relieved.
Yeah.
They're feeling good.
He's their shining star, Ohtani.
He's their shining star. Yeah, and I'm kind of relieved too. I like him. All right. Well, that's our time. Thank you so much. This has been Score Time with Skorheim. With Mike Lefko.
Thanks, Jake.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Always a pleasure.
All right, we got a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Thank you guys so much for listening. All right, it's the final segment of the night. I want to start off by saying thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. I love Friday nights. I love every night on this show. I'm so thankful that you guys choose to make time to hang out with us. I love that you download the podcast. Maybe you're listening live. Maybe you're listening 10 days later. Whatever. It means we're hanging out. It means we like the same stuff and we're friends. That makes me happy. All right, so here's something else that makes me really happy. Actually, this doesn't make me happy. I forgot. This story is very sad. It's not really actually very sad, but it is interesting, and it is something that actually I was talking about way more seriously than I should have been with my wife. I said, how could this happen? Where do you think things fell apart? I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself. Do you guys watch The Golden Bachelor? Is this something you care at all about? I care way too much about this. I was not a Bachelor fan in my life until I was married, and then even for the first 10 years of my marriage, couldn't have cared less about The Bachelor and The Bachelorettes. Not interested. And then at some point, I sat down with my wife and said, all right, she watches all these. I'm going to try to watch it with her. It's a good way to spend time together. It's nice to have TV shows that you can both watch together. So we sit down on the couch. We get a nice little cold bottle of Sauv Blanc, a real summery, delicious wine. It's got hints of grapefruit. And pineapple. It's just really great. I put a bunch of ice in a wine glass. It's the best way to enjoy a Sauv Blanc. So anyway, all right, we're feeling good. We're sitting on the couch. I start watching The Bachelor with my wife. And lo and behold, I get hooked. It's a really great show. And now stupidly, I watch every iteration. I watch The Bachelor. I watch the Bachelorette. I watch The Golden Bachelor. I watch Bachelor in Paradise. I don't watch a lot of the women and men tell alls because those just aren't as interesting to me. But I do enjoy the show. All right, so I hope you guys enjoy the show. And if you don't, you might enjoy the segment anyway, because I'm just going to make fun of it. Oh, all right. So The Golden Bachelor, recently, you have a guy, his name is Jerry, he was 72, he's a widower, his wife passed away a few years back, and they were introducing him to a bunch of ladies who were also all in their like 60s, 70s, there might have even been an 80-year-old woman, I don't know about that, but I think they were all in their 60s and 70s. He found a woman, her name was Teresa, they fell in love in front of our eyes, it was magic, we all thought it was real, we all thought they were going to be together for the rest of their lives. They were on ABC News, and they actually had their vow. They had a live wedding on ABC News. Here's how it sounded.
I promise to be your calm in a storm, to comfort you when you're sad, to laugh with you when you're happy, and to stick with you throughout it all.
We have a trust that cannot be broken.
You may kiss your bride.
All right, you heard it there. We got a trust cannot be broken. I'm going to stick with you through it all, she says. And then GMA teases that this morning they have a big announcement with the Golden Bachelor couple. Again, this is ridiculous. We're even talking about this, but whatever. ABC had this big announcement on GMA. What could it be?
Millions of Americans watch them fall in love and get married on live TV back in January. And Juju Chang sat down with the couple who have a personal update to share. Good morning, Juju.
Good morning, Rebecca. And they certainly do. I have to say, both Carrie and Teresa say they are really nervous about how fans will react to their news. So many of them cheered them on as they bonded over widowhood and looking for love in their 70s. So after that lavish golden wedding, now they have what can perhaps best be described as a bombshell.
A bombshell, they said. And I'll tell you what, my first reaction, because again, I believe in true love and I watch the show and I think they're going to be together forever. My first reaction is, I'm doing the math in my head and I'm saying, okay, they got married in January. It's been about 3 months. Maybe they got pregnant on their honeymoon. Like biblically, it's possible. They could get pregnant. You wait 3 months, make sure everything's looking good. And then after the first trimester, you kind of share the news with the world. So I was really excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, what a, like the icing on top of the cake. Just perfect. Now they're pregnant. What an amazing story. And then they had this announcement.
It's been a couple months since your wedding and you have some news to share.
We have received so much love and support from so many people who watch The Golden Bachelor. And I don't think we can tell you how many people told us that it gave them so much hope. We want none of that to change for anybody.
Teresa and I have had a number of heart-to-heart conversations, and we've looked closely at our situation, our living situation, and so forth. And we've kind of come to the conclusion mutually that it's probably time for us to dissolve our marriage.
What?
Get a divorce.
Yes.
Yeah. No!
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
No! I thought it was a baby. Oh, I thought it was a baby. I was so wrong. A divorce? That's the opposite of a baby. They should, you know what? I think they should stick it out. I think they should try. They need to try for a baby. Maybe that would save this relationship. Whatever happened to forever? I heard the vows. Those sounded real. Especially in this case, till death do us part for them is only like, I don't know, a couple more years. It's not even that big of a commitment. Oh, this was so depressing. It makes me almost wonder if that show was not real. But in my heart, I know it's real because I love that show. All right. That's a bit Golden Bachelor news. We had a lot of fun this week. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. Thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Come back next week. We're going to have a lot of great stuff. Download the podcast, Kyra Nights with Jake Skorheim, wherever you get the podcast. We will see you next week. Night, night.